Welcome to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church in Pittsboro, North Carolina. I'm Lee Callicutt, pastor for preaching and teaching at Grace Hill. Grace Hill Church exists to glorify God by being a community on mission transformed by the gospel. For more information about Grace Hill, visit us at gracehillchatham.com. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. With one sentence, Paul captures the very heartbeat of the Christian life, what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus, to believe upon Him. That for the believer, Christ is not merely part of our life. For those believers, we are not, Christ, dare I say, is not even the most important part of our life. Christ is life. He is our life. To live is Christ. Because Christ is life, death is actually not loss, it is gain. See, the world has its own versions of what it means to live. For me, some people may say, for me to live is wealth. For me to live is comfort. For me to live is success. For me to live is to be thought well of. But the Christian confesses something far greater, far more grand, far more majestic than for me to live is for something of this world. No, we as Christians confess this grand truth that for to me to live is Christ. This morning, I want us to consider what it means that Christ is our life and why death becomes gain for those who belong to Him. So verse 21, look, he says, for to me to live is Christ. Look how he frames this, how Paul frames it. He says, for to me. He's not given a philosophical option or idea to be debated. This is just personal testimony. He's offering his life as an evidence. For to me, what my life is about, what I'm about, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to pursue, he's saying, look at my life. For to me to live is Christ. And so this truth, it orders everything in his life. That Christ is his life. That means everything flows from that reality. Jesus is his life. And notice the force of the present tense. He says, for me to live. This is not a one-time decision. This is his life. It's an ongoing manner. He says, for to me to live. To exist, to have being and breath. What that means to me is to live my life for Christ each and every day. To live day after day, hour by hour, moment by moment, step by step, breath by breath. For to me, to even live and exist, it means Christ and Christ alone. And nothing else, nothing too added to Him, nothing subtracted away from Him. Every breath that I am given, that God has ordained for me to take, will be for Jesus and Jesus alone. See, we know that Paul desired to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. His life, His ministry, every breath could be summed up in this confession. For to me to live is Christ. He very literally means Christ is my life, the totality, the sum, the bottom line of my life is all about Jesus and Jesus alone. He was full of Christ. He saw his very existence through the lens of his Savior. So he says, for to me to live, that if I am to live, what am I going to live for? It's going to be for Christ's glory. And if I die, well then if I die, I'll be in Christ's presence. But either way, Paul here is wholly surrendered to Jesus Christ. Christ was the source, the substance, the very goal and aim of his life. You see this throughout all his writings. remind you of Galatians 2:20. What does he say in Galatians 2:20? Paul writes, "It's no longer I who live. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." He's saying, look, the old man is gone. The old man is dead and buried, and I've been raised with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ in me. Paul's saying everything in his life is Jesus. You think of the image that Jesus gave in John 15, the vine and the branches. You know, a branch doesn't manufacture its own sap. It receives life from the vine. That's what Jesus says in John 15, that from apart from me, you can do nothing. And this is what Paul is understanding and grasping, is that apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. I can't even live without Jesus Christ. So for to me, to live is Christ. That's the end. That's the goal. That's the purpose. Romans 14:8, he writes again, simply put, whether we live unto the Lord. His aim is the glory of Jesus. Every project, every relationship, every ministry, every choice, every decision is not what do I want, because I no longer live for myself. I no longer live for my own thoughts and my own ways and my own loves. It's in everything. Whether I live, I'm going to live unto Christ. So now every question becomes, well, what will honor Christ? What will glorify him? That's why he writes in the verse before, whether it's by life or by death, Christ will be magnified in me. See, Jesus is the joy of Paul's life. It's what he writes in Acts 20. But I do not account my life of any value or precious to me, if only if I may finish my course in the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. See, Christ is the joy as well of Paul's life. He is the pearl of great price. He is the treasure he found in the field. Everything else to Paul fades, and Christ remains the treasure. He's saying if Jesus was gone, life itself would be some kind of death. He said, for to me to live. Do you grasp that? Paul's saying to even exist, everything I do with every fiber of my being is laid out to service to Jesus Christ. That my very life is to exalt the name of Jesus and spend and be spent entirely for Christ's glory. That is Paul's life's refrain, to live as Christ and to die as gain. But my friend, we have to ask, is that your life's refrain? Is this what your life shouts? Is this what your life sings? Is this what your life exemplifies? That for me to live is Christ. That do you have the single-minded passion? Does your heart cry, if only I could honor Christ in life or by death? If my life was only to magnify Jesus, that would be enough for me. See, when Christ is your life, it changes everything. When Christ is your life, you depend on Him. For rather than your own strength, your own wisdom, when Christ is the end and joy of your life, the things of this world are no longer ultimate to you. Your job is no longer ultimate. Your bank account is no longer ultimate. Even good things like marriage, your marriage is no longer ultimate. But they're all means to glorify the Savior who is your life. It's that my reputation is not ultimate. No relationship. What is ultimate in my life? Is Jesus. That my entire existence as a believer is to glorify Him. And therefore, we can never have our eyes too intently fixed on the Savior that bought us. We can never be too exclusively fixed upon Jesus Christ. All salvation is found in Him. All salvation flows from Him. All salvation is from Him. All our assurances and comforts. Everything that we have in this life is from Him. And we're called to now rest fully and completely on Him. Jesus must be everything to us. He must be all. He is the beginning, the center, the end. And what a glorious and beautiful reality for those of us that we wake up each morning, even as the redeemed. And we wake up in our, and we understand our own spiritual poverty. We understand our own frailty, our own human weakness, our own limitations, our own insufficiencies, our own inadequacies. We know our own sin. And yet, each morning, His mercy is new, and we get to rest on a complete, loving, gracious, powerful Jesus Christ, whose love never grows cold, whose eyes never stare at us with rejection, who never speaks a word of condemnation. And so we, as His people, say Christ is everything. And why is that? Because we understand exactly what Christ is for us and what He's done for us, that He has took our sin at the cross. He has gone and bore our shame and paid for all our sin. He stood in my place. He stood in my stead. As a ruined, wrecked, damned sinner, Jesus Christ came. And He came and He lived and He died on a cross and He rose again so I could be justified. That brother and sister, you've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And to know that He took my sin upon the cross. He bore my shame. He carried my guilt, paid the full penalty for my sin. Not in part, but the whole. He drank the cup of God's wrath so then I can enjoy the cup of God's unreserved mercy toward a sinner. That He does bear the weight of my penalty for my sin, and He raises again. And He raises again, triumphant, alive, victorious. And the empty tomb is a seal that God accepts His work of redemption on my behalf. That the debt is paid, the power of death is broken, and new life is mine. He's brought me from death to life, from darkness to light. That's what God has done for me. Now, how could I not say, for to me? For me that my Savior died. And because He died for me, for to me now to live is Christ. Because He's died and rose again for me. That's exactly what Paul reminds us of in Colossians 3. He says, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. Set your minds on things above, not on the things of earth. For you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. So when your life, who in Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Christ, we have been hidden with Christ. Our life is buried with Him and we were raised with Him. And so now Christ is our life. There's no other option as a Christian. If you are blood bought by the Lamb of God, He is your life. And so you say, for to me to live, for me to live, is Jesus. Brother and sister, you've been raised with Christ. You're no longer bound to the fading, worthless pleasures of this world. You no longer have to live like anything else is your life any longer. You're not bound to have to say, my job is my life, the rat race is my life, whatever else is my life. No, you've been raised with Christ and seated with Him, and you say, He is my life. Jesus is my life. Your citizenship is in heaven. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. So, brother and sister, lift up your eyes. Your Savior is not among the dying things of this earth. He's enthroned in glory, ruling over all things for the good of his people. You have a whole different life because he's given you a new life and a new heart with new loves and new motives and new desires. Do not dare become too tethered to this world, but see Christ as the whole of your life and live only for him. Why do we become so tethered to this world? Because we don't grasp that Christ is our life. Why do our hearts so often groan at the poor and fleeting things of this world? The world does nothing but offer and beckon empty promises, riches that rust, honor that fades, pleasures that perish. But Christ says, I offer you eternal pleasures now and forevermore. I offer you treasures in heaven that no moth, no rust can destroy. But that's with me kept by the power of God for you. Christ offers you, brother and sister, he offers you unfading glory and unspeakable joy. Christ is your life. Don't become tethered to this world. And see, when you see that, you see, for to me to live is Christ, and you see that the principle of our life, the end of our life, the joy of my life, the source of my life, the substance of my life, the very purpose of my existence, the very strength of my soul, the very delight of my heart is Jesus. That means whether through trial or triumph, sorrow or joy, Christ is in the center of all that we do. And the man or woman who says, my life is for Christ, it is Christ. Your sole ambition is to draw nearer to him. Your daily business is to glorify him. Your greatest joy is to live for him. And when you grasp that, you grasp what Paul says when he says, for to me to live is Christ. To live is Christ means that you love him supremely, depend on him continually, and devote all of who you are to his glory. He says, for to me to live is Christ. And then when we get the first part of that, we can finally see how the second part makes sense. And then he goes on in verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die. And to die is gain. How is death gain? The Bible itself calls death our last enemy. To hear death is gain, it turns our normal proclivities and inclinations sort of upside down on its head. Human instinct upside down. Because for many, and perhaps it's you, death is the worst terror. When you think about death, it's the end of that person. It's the end of ambition. It's the end of relationships. It's the end of a marriage. It's the end of knowing that person anymore in the flesh. It's to the world, death is the worst possible loss. Because death to the world snatches away earthly hopes. It breaks families. It ends any temporal dream that you would have. So Paul says, but to die is gain. And so Paul, standing under the light and the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ, sees death entirely differently than the world would see it. Because if Christ is life, then death is gain, because death brings us more into Christ. See, death is gain because it means presence with Christ. It's what he says in verse 23, does he not? Later, right here in this chapter, he says, I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, present with Christ, for that is far better. So see, death is presence with Christ. See, for the believer, you don't just cease to exist. You don't get annihilated. It's immediate union. We go to where Christ is. But death, because we're with Christ and in the presence of Christ, and it is gain. Death is gain because it does remove the final vestiges of sin and suffering. Here on earth, even as redeemed people, we still battle indwelling sin and besetting sin. We still wake up with weaknesses. But in the death of Christ, it strips all of that away. As Richard Sibbes, a great Puritan, said, he said this, he said, "Death, quote, death will be the death of my misery, the death of my sins, and the death of my corruptions." You think about that. Die is gain, because the moment you die in Christ, sin will trouble you no more. Sin will never scale the wall of heaven. The besetting temptations and sins that you woke up with this morning, gone forever. The weakness you feel in your flesh and even in your spirit, gone forever. The sorrows that weigh heavy upon you, that fill your pillow with tears every night, gone forever. Death is gain, because death ushers us into everlasting, unveiled joy. That the best things in this life are merely foretastes of the full joy that is to come. That's what 1 John 3:2 says. When he, Jesus, appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In heaven there will be no more. We'll see him. There's nothing left between us and the Savior whom we love. And so for the Christian, death is not loss. It is gain. It's the presence of Christ. It's sin and its effects stripped away. It's seeing our Savior face to face and being in eternal blessedness forever. That's what Ecclesiastes reminds us. It says that the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. See, for those in Christ, death is not loss. It is the eternal gain. To live on earth and to have this life is a gift. Yes, life is a gift, but it's a gift with an expiration date. And this life is made sweeter by the fact that it will not last forever. That one day I will be with my Savior. To quote one more person, Charles Spurgeon said, "The best moment of a Christian's life is his last one, for then he is nearest to heaven." That is the promise of God's word to you and to me. That Jesus Christ, when we die, he'll wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning nor crying nor pain, for the former things would have passed away. The prophet Isaiah says he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all our faces. When the Christian dies, we're not losing life. We're gaining eternal life. And we're losing sin, sorrow, and suffering. The death of death occurred in the death of Christ. Death is the funeral for all our sorrows, for all our shame. It's laying down the old rags of mortality and putting on the garments of glory. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 says, for the perishable, verse 53, for the perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. And we say, what a day that will be when I do take my final breath with whatever God has ordained with my life. What a day that will be, that the very last tear I will ever cry will be the tear Christ himself wipes away from my face. Weakness exchanged for glory, sin exchanged for holiness, sorrow exchanged for everlasting joy. And that is why Paul says with confidence, to die is gain. Did Jesus himself not stand in front of his friend's tomb in Bethany, his friend Lazarus in John 14? He declared something before that tomb. And what does Jesus say before Lazarus' tomb? He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? That is why death is gain. For the believer, death is not the end of life. It's beginning of eternal life in all its fullness. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life," which means your life is in Christ and death can never sever you from him, because death could never sever you away from Jesus himself. Death cannot strip you of what Jesus has secured. Death cannot silence the voice of him who cried before that tomb, "Lazarus, come forth. He is the resurrection and the life. He holds the keys to death and to hell. And when we take our final breath and they throw dirt on our casket, if you are in Christ, your soul rises into His presence. And on that last day, the same voice that thundered in Bethany will thunder over your grave too. He will say, come forth, and you will rise forever. Jesus conquered death. So even though you die, yet shall you live. And so when you and I have to face this last enemy of death, know that the last enemy doesn't have final victory, because Christ walked out of the tomb and it is empty. I read this quote at every funeral that I do. I'm going to read it now. It's from D.L. Moody. He says, someday you'll read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher out of this old clay tenement to a house that is immortal, a body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, and a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. As sure as Jesus has conquered the grave, so all those found in Him will conquer it too, because we will rise with Him. There is not one person, who has ever died in Christ that has seen Jesus, tasted His glory, that they would wish to come back to this life. There's not one person that has died in Christ that would wish to come back here.
That's right.
Don't wish your family back if they're in Christ. Because when you die in Jesus by faith, it's gain, because you'll be more alive than you've ever been. Though we die, yet shall we live. So we say, O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? In Christ, hidden with Him, though you die, you shall live. That's why Paul says to die is gain. As the old saying goes, death is not a period for the Christian. It's nothing but a comma. It's not loss, it's lasting gain. And the sting of death has been pulled out because Jesus Christ bore it, and the grave has lost its victory because Christ walked out of it. So you will close your eyes in death one day, but you will open them in the face of your Savior. So my brother and sister, let the world fear death, but not you. Death is simply the moment we cross the threshold into the arms of Him who is our resurrection and life. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. So let us not see death as a thief, but as a servant of grace, because death is what brings the Christian to Christ. So let that nearness of death make us holy and urgent to live for Him today. Death brings us into Christ's presence. That means today matters. Today matters for you. The fear of death should not master you as a Christian. If you belong to Jesus, death cannot harm you. It cannot pluck you out of His hands. It cannot push you out. So you now, therefore, live boldly. Preach the gospel with courage. Love extravagantly. Not a hair on your head shall fall unless the Savior has ordained it. If you're tempted because you fear death, to hoard comfort, to try to gain security because you're afraid of death, remember Paul's confidence. He counted dying as gain. And so we live as courageous Christians, knowing that God has ordained our life in every day and every breath. And we say, if dying means seeing Jesus, then come what may. So my brother and sister, do not fear what the world fears. Your life belongs to Christ, and your death will be gain because it ushers you into the presence of a perfect Savior who died for you and rose again. Take heart, your eternity is secure in His nail-pierced hands. So live for Him today. But may I remind us all that this hope of death being gain is only for those that are in Christ by faith. You have two people. You have two types of people in this world. Those that are in Christ by faith, trusting in His finished work, His death on the cross for sins, and His resurrection. And you have those that do not trust in that finished work. And those of you that are outside of Christ, meaning that you've not transferred your trust and believe upon Him, let me be as clear as I possibly can and as loving as I possibly can. If Christ is not your life, death will not be your gain. But here's the good news, is that God did send His Son. And His Son went to the cross for the sins of those that would believe. He came for sinners and died for sinners so that you could have life abundant and eternal in Him. He lived the life that you never lived. He perfectly fulfilled God's law. He died the death you deserved by standing in your place as a sacrifice and a substitute on the cross. He rose again victorious, conquering sin and death so that you could be forgiven, reconciled to God, and by believing in Him, have eternal life. You can have that life today. Today. You can be rest assured. You can leave here today. Maybe you came in today and you thought, for me to live is money. For me to live is my bank account. It's my job. It's a relationship. And you can, and then you'll say, well, to die is not gain because I'm living for the things of this world. But you can leave here today trusting in Jesus Christ by faith alone and Him alone. All of who you know yourself to be into all you know Him to be. And you can leave here saying with a new song in your heart, for me to live is Christ. Amen. And to die is now gain. Would you come and trust in this Savior? Would you come by faith and believe upon Him and have a new life and a new hope? And to not fear death no longer, but to say, because I know Christ and that He's paid for my sin, I can say, for to me now to live is for my Savior who died and rose again for me. And when I die, it is gain because I will be with Him. He stands ready to receive you. Would you turn to Him, trust in Him, and believe upon Him? Before the Christian who's already done that, the call is simple, but it's all-encompassing. Live every day with Christ in view. Christ is your life. As you go to work, as you love your spouse, listen, Christ being our life and understanding that death is gain, it shapes everything that we do now. So we resolve that all our life belongs to Him. So for to live as Christ now shapes all our relationships. It changes the way we love our families, the way I love my wife, the way you love your husband, the way I serve my neighbors, the way I respond in conflict. It all comes now to say His love compels me to serve, to love, to forgive. It shapes every relationship now. For to me to live as Christ also shapes our suffering. When trials come, and they will, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We remember that our suffering is never wasted, that God uses the refiner's fire to shape us, to mold us. He uses the tool of affliction to make us more like Him. And even death itself is not meaningless. We know that it's all to magnify the Savior. And we say that it shapes, because Christ is my life. It shapes my suffering. It shapes my death. It shapes my life. It shapes my priorities. It changes the way I go to work. It changes my politics, the art I consume, the recreation I'm involved in. Because all of it must be lived for His glory, because my life is Christ. That there's no compartment of my life. There's no corner of my heart where Jesus doesn't say, that's mine. And you must live it for me. Because when Jesus is our life, He becomes the center of everything that we do. And we live with eternity in view so that we find the things of earth grow strangely dim. And we say, Christ is my life and death is my gain. See, for to live as Christ changes not how we live today, but it changes how we die tomorrow. So we say, keep me. Keep me near the cross every day, every moment, nearer and nearer to the cross until I'm safely across the river where I experience the ultimate gain of seeing my Savior. Amen. until you are safely across the golden shore. Until you're safely across the golden shore, to live is Christ. So you live for Him, you long for Him, you love Him. And then when He calls you home, you say, to die is my gain. This is the great confession of every Christian, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So my weary pilgrim friend, lift your eyes and fix your heart on heaven. Christ is your life, now and forevermore. And so we say, for to me, a great and vile, wretched sinner, that God would send His only Son to die for me, that vile, wretched sinner. Purchase me. What a scandal of grace when I was dead in my trespasses and sins, unable to reach for God. He reached for me. And when I was a slave of sin, Christ bought me. When I was hostile in nature, He gave me a new nature. When I had no hope of paying for my sin, Christ stood in my place, bearing my sentence so I might become His righteousness. My ransom has been paid by the blood of the Lamb. And so I say, for to me to live is Christ. And because of Christ, to die is gain. Thank you for listening to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church. Please feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without written permission.